before we get into this week's episode, mark your calendars for May 4th this year for the North Atlantic Beer Mile at Waterfront Fest in Wheeling, West Virginia. From live DJs, live band performances, retail vendors, a Kentucky Derby watch party, great food, and great fun, this event kicks off the summer's festival season. From 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., Waterfront Fest is an all-day event that includes the first annual North Atlantic Beer Mile, hosted by us, the Pine Room Studios. Take part in this epic race where competitors are tasked to drink a 10-ounce beer before the first and after each subsequent mile for a total of 4 beers and 4 quarter miles. Runners can participate solo and take on the workload for themselves, or with the help of 3 other friends, you can split the workload and work as a team. We highly encourage crazy and wacky outfits, and being that it's Star Wars Day, the Kentucky Derby, and the day before Cinco de Mayo, why not dress up? Go to waterfronthall.com/fest to register and know that a portion of the proceeds are going to 3 deserving charities in the Ohio Valley: the Road Home Animal Project, Helping Heroes, and Augusta Levy. Get ready for an absolutely epic event, the North Atlantic Beer Mile, May 4th at Waterfront Fest. All right, hello everyone. Welcome into the Pine Room Podcast, episode 103. Myself, Jarrett, Chris, Matt, Jeff here in the studio. We're here rocking it for our 103rd episode, rolling into the month of April after this. I think it'll be April by the time, no.
April 2nd.
Yeah, it'll probably April 2nd. April 2nd.
Hopefully fare better than Pan Am Flight 103.
Which one was that?
Lockerbie, Scotland.
That was what, in 88?
Yeah.
I wouldn't shut it down.
Where did it shut it down? Where did it shut it down?
Blew
over?
Up over Lockerbie, Scotland.
Yeah.
Didn't it just disintegrate?
Yeah. Supposedly Libyans blew it up.
Oh, yeah, right.
Didn't some airline CEO just get either fired or stepped down because of all the bullshit with the
airline?
Yeah,
but he's, I saw his call. He's going to get $24
million. A slight
that's so bad.
Yeah, wait, God, that's so wait, what? What did he do?
Can't put him out in the cold without $24 million.
There's just
million.
A lot of things going along the airplane business right now, and a lot of errors, a lot of planes having to come down, all different stuff.
Well, it's Boeing though, right?
Boeing, yeah.
They've grounded a bunch of those because they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. Fucking windows are blowing out of them
goofy
and all kind
shit's
of them
happening.
Mechanical failures.
Oh, yeah, because not a little bit ago, that door ripped off
Boeing's Jesus. A mess. They're a mess. What a
Ooh,
shame,
that's,
too.
That's
one of the
a,
best companies.
That's a little unnerving.
Yeah, so aren't they like one of the most profitable companies in the world?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. When you have a golden parachute of $24 million, you can be like, go ahead and fire me.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Let me go, please.
They are better off paying out these lawsuits that they have every once in a while than they are like going through and redoing all their aircraft. Mm-hmm. I watched a documentary on it. It's fascinating. They basically were like, yeah, we'll pay.
Rolling
we'll pay.
The dice.
Like we need to make the money, so we're gonna roll the dice. And the people who are actually doing the safety checks and stuff, they're like sickened by it. This one guy was like, his health was falling apart. He was like ready to die because he all this stress on him because he designed this and he knew it was flawed. And he went to him and he told him this is gonna kill people and they won't listen to him. And he's living with all this guilt. And then you got these CEOs who just like, we're not really gonna change it because we'd rather just pay the settlement. We have insurance.
That's
gross. That's a little unnerving.
You can watch a thing on Netflix. Well, there's one on.
Didn't recently one of the, was it a Boeing whistleblower that ended up dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now the guy, I don't know if he had already retired or whatever, but he, you know, just talking about one of those guys Matt was describing,
riddled with guilt.
And then he ended up dying. Well,
suspicious.
You know what? He supposedly he committed suicide.
Yeah.
They actually hit him with a plane.
I'm not sure how you do that, though.
Yeah,
how does that work?
I don't know.
But
no one ever investigates that stuff, though.
Oh, no. But that guy was, you know, just discussed about what he had seen, and he had been retired and, you know, started just, you know, talking about, I think he was going to testify in one of those.
There's a lot of similarities to several cases.
He's dead.
I guess my question is with that kind of stuff, and obviously that's only just one of example of millions. Like, we truly are just a puppet in this whole, we're just puppets. At the end of the day, we got the information that's given down to us. We have to eat it because at the end of the day, none of us are powerful enough to make a dent in it. And to say that people, and here's the deal, that's not the only industry that doesn't really give a fuck about people's lives. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of industries too, but to somebody to admit at that level, the executive level, that We know that it's wrong, and we know that it's going to be lives, but Christ, the insurance policies will cover the debt, so it's not a big deal to us. Like, fuck it.
And what we say this all the time on either the radio or these parties, everything's driven by fucking money. It's the bottom line. They don't give a fuck about people.
It's a big green god.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Big green god.
That's exactly what it is.
Sickening.
And there are a bunch of people. There are probably a bunch of people that think exactly like those executives that are all over the place. But we'll never see him, and they'll never probably come.
Probably
to
never be him either.
Nope.
Which is good.
That is good. Yeah. I agree with that.
We don't want to be an asshole. Chris, real quick, speaking of planes, I've recently got my mom hooked on the plane tracker, the phone app that tracks every flight. She is just fascinated with this plane tracking.
Well, I it's funny you say that because I thought of you. It was like 10:30, maybe, last night, I think. And I took Toby out one last time before bed, and I heard a plane going over. And I'm like, if I'd had my phone, I'd have looked that up. And I thought, I just remember always asking you when we were together at the Pine Room or whatever, and you just look and say, yeah, that plane's heading to Rochester or wherever.
We get a ton of Atlanta to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we were
driving. And it shows the actual picture of the plane.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
We were driving, and there was like one of those little like dual-seat helicopters that fly across like the river every now and then. We're driving, and there's one goes overhead now, and the helicopter whips his phone out. He could see every detail of where
you can see the path it takes.
Yeah,
it's
where it had been
there.
In
That's
the area.
Wild.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Crazy.
Why is that flight information is public? Does anybody know that? Why that's a thing? Because I know that Taylor Swift was mad that her like flight information was public.
Is it actually in real time? Because someone told me it's like it's not exactly in real time. So you couldn't.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, pretty accurate. Let's see
one time. I swear to God.
Because I mean, I was
really worried. Like the time when Emily and Corey they went to Madrid or Portugal.
Yeah,
I followed her plane.
My mom.
I knew the flight
that.
Number, and I was like, okay, well, you know, they're two young kids, don't fucking know anything. Not, I mean, I'm powerless.
I was gonna say.
Like, all right, they're taking off. Okay, well, as long as it didn't go off the radar,
I give it just disappeared.
We've got one,
but
now
I did watch
ahead.
It though. Yeah, right? But anyway, it's
I don't know why there's public. I think like they had to have it some sort of delay on there though. That could be.
There's one going above us, pretty much right now, from Willoughby to Sanford. It looks like Willoughby's up by like Cleveland to Sanford. So that I just think,
Willoughby,
but it's not even a commercial.
Came from one of those little airports.
Yeah, it's a Cirrus SR-22 private owner, and the fact that I know that is insane to me.
I'm still enamored by like the whole planes, flights, like even like if I'm just chilling in my backyard, I know it sounds crazy. Honestly, like honestly, I don't know what it is. That whole concept to me is just badass. Like,
I love it.
Yeah,
love
super
it.
Cool, man.
Thousands of feet up there, 60 people in a metal tube just flying at 600 miles per hour.
And they never look like they're going that fast.
No. Mm-hmm. Yep. But if you were hanging onto the wing, you'd
yeah, that'd be feel like going a million.
Yeah. I prefer not to have that experience.
Well, no.
I prefer not to.
I found aside from military and government sensitive flights, flight information collected by the FAA is considered public information because taxpayers pay for air traffic controllers, runways, towers, and other resources utilized by both commercial and private pilots.
Chris, how many miles do you think you've driven in your life?
There's
like,
your fun
if
fact
you could,
of the day.
If you could ballpark it, because you drive a lot.
If I just said 50,000 a year, and that might be a little bit on the high. We'll say 30,000 and do times it by 22 years. Whatever.
So
now I remember a guy that I used to work with. He doesn't do sales anymore, but he did it for a long time. And he said he did the mileage and said he thinks he had driven enough in his job to go around the world twice.
Oh, wow.
That's which I don't know how many miles that would be.
That's crazy.
You've done that. I bet you've done at least one lap around.
That's so 50,000, do you say 24?
Like 30 times 22.
Yeah. 30,000, times 22 years.
30,000 times 22 years. That's 660,000 miles.
That's
I think you drive more than that, because my truck on it right now has 410,000 miles on it, and that's like all runner trucks for the dog kennels and stuff like that. I feel like you've definitely hit higher than that.
Well, I could. I don't know. Maybe in he's the early
some,
years.
He's had some higher years.
What did you come up with?
Years.
How many miles?
It was 660,000.
Isn't it?
I'd say that's pretty.
I think the world's not that big in circumference, right?
I don't know.
I don't think it's close.
I think
he's driven it like 3 times.
Yeah, you've driven it. No, wait. I got it. It's way more than. Hold on.
What, like?
So here's a question while they're figuring it up, Chris. So since you have to drive for your job, do you fucking hate drive personal trips?
Nope.
Doesn't bother you?
Chris, nope. You
worked yesterday, went to the mall last night.
You've driven around the earth 27 times.
What mall? Our mall?
Oh, it was so dead.
I don't even want to call it our mall. I don't even know.
I went around
High Valley Mall. People
our
still go
store,
to that?
So our mall. Experience it all at Ohio Valley Mall.
Well, I when we were on
it's
that
impressive,
call.
Jerry. It's impressive, Jerry. And yep, we sounded good, Jerry. We sounded fucking good.
When was our call? Last night?
Yeah, Monday.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, well, you know, I want to get a new sport coat for this beer mine. I want to dress like we're going to the
Derby.
Yeah,
Where'd
you go?
Well, I found. I don't want to spend a lot of fucking money on a jacket. I was over at Boss Calls, but then I was just, you know, the mall was so crowded. I had to walk through all these people. I just walked up and down, and I end up at the Shoe Connection, and they got some nice loafers.
Nice.
Some eye catching loafers. I didn't buy anything yet, but. That's why I went over there. But there might have been fucking 15 people in there. I mean, there's this fucking, in the middle of the mall, there's like a little station there for, you know, take your little kid over there to get.
Yeah, right, but outside
Easter,
of Fabio's.
Easter Bunny.
Fuck, was he there?
Yeah.
No one was around?
There was another worker there. And like, so the Easter Bunny's talking in his real voice because nobody was around.
You know what's sad about that? They take reservations now. Because my niece just took my great niece this past weekend. Now, granted, they're up in the Pittsburgh, so that may be a little bit different. But you have to set up reservations to go get pictures with the Easter Bunny
really?
Now.
Really?
And once they're sold out, you're sold out. Now, the cool part about it is obviously you don't have to wait, and you know what time you're going to be there, and then you don't have to deal with other people's fucking screaming kids. That's the cool part. But I just can't believe they're taking reservations to go.
Yeah. There must not have been any last night.
The Easter Bunny's so fucking dumb. I hate the Easter Bunny.
What? Why?
He's a dick. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do
anything. He does.
What does he do? Lay eggs?
At least Santa brings you stuff.
Yeah, Santa brings
you.
Eggs,
he brings you your Easter basket.
I thought he was a mammal.
But an Easter basket's so, it's just candy and garbage shit that makes your teeth rot out. Like, at least Santa will bring you like a football. Like Easter Bunny's just a dick.
Just
I hate the Easter Bunny.
Nobody has ever
say, the
said
the guy loves sports.
Nobody in the world has ever said that the Easter Bunny's a dick.
He is.
I bet
he's a dick.
Yeah,
the Easter Bunny's a dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Boy has.
He's like an actual bunny's okay, but the one that like the mascot bunny, I hate him. I can't stand him. I don't like him.
Where'd that come from anyway?
The Easter Bunny? I don't know, because I mean, it is kind of the day. It's a day that we're supposed to, you know, remember for Jesus. But
that's no different than Santa, though. Really.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Chris, you found a sport coat?
Nah, there was one a nice color. It Boss Calls, but it was like $119.
Damn. What's those things that you can get? It's like it's under your coat. It looks like a floral thing.
Dicky.
No, not a.
Cousin Eddie.
I was hoping you weren't
Eddie.
Asking.
No,
that.
Not a dicky. I love.
That's what
I
you should rock.
I would wear.
You
a
should
dicky.
Just wear a dicky no shirt.
Yeah,
like Curry.
Keeps
a,
the arms.
Wait,
free.
What's a? Why do I not know what
a
dicky?
It's a turneck that has no
it's just
sleeves.
Like a, it's just
looks
a,
like a.
It's just
bib.
A collar.
Yeah. It's like a collar.
Yeah.
It's so you can put a dress shirt on and look
so
like you have a collar.
Stupid.
On.
How anybody ever
no,
came up with
it's
that?
It's like a you wear it like really fancy people wear it, and they're like it's in between your suit jacket, and it looks like a flowery.
Not
thing.
Not an ascot. No.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it.
Did Mr. Furley used to wear them? Yeah. Remember him?
Wait,
are you talking about a cummerbund?
What like, Lloyd? Cummerbunds
no,
down
but
low.
The not the cummerbund, but the one that's attached. It looks like a vest.
What
remember.
Lloyd and Harry wore?
Let me see.
Didn't Lloyd and Harry wear those in Dumb and Dumber?
Look like a scarf? Is that what you're kind of
no,
thinking?
No, it's like a. Yeah, I think it is an ascot. No,
that's above
yeah,
my pay
like,
grade.
Yeah, like this thing. It's like a kind of fucked up looking tie.
Oh,
yeah. Like no, that? That's on an.
What?
Or is that? Or is this an ascot? When it the underneath the.
Yeah,
that's what I
see. But I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about it's like a real puffy.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Anyway. Mm-hmm. What do you think you're gonna rock for the beer?
Jeez, you're going all out for this fucking thing, huh? What if it's like 100 degrees outside?
It's going to be May. What's the date?
May 4th.
Nah, it'll be fine.
You think it'll...
I'd rather dress like a Star Wars guy.
Coming like Vader.
Oh,
or like like Krennic.
I was thinking I was going to come as Bosk or Bib Fortuna.
Bosk. You'd have like
Bib.
Or one of those coming. Mylock things.
Lizard feet.
But I think, Chris, you'll look, I'm excited to see you.
Dapper,
all
for sure. Gossip. Jerry, you're dressing up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll have my suit on.
Hey, Shoe Connection did have a pair of white loafers. Like, didn't Cousin Eddie wear those?
Mm, sure did. And the Dickie, for sure.
I just laughed and said, well, I got to see what my outfit is, the color and everything, before I buy a pair of loafers.
What do you think about guys that go out to, like, a bar with a suit jacket on?
I'm probably going to be the anomaly, but I think it's sharp. I'll be honest. I'm
like,
okay with
like,
wait. Like they go
to the
that's
like the way
they
go.
Leave the house.
Yes.
To go. No. If you're leaving work and you're in a professional attire, then totally cool with that.
Because unless the dude,
if you're wearing that out, at least the bars that I frequent, I would say you got fucking problems.
Unless he was working late. We were out at some. It was one of the bars around here, so that I can't remember which one.
Which are all fancy,
but
of course.
He had a suit jacket on, like a blazer with a button up shirt that was unbuttoned like three buttons.
I hate that.
And then he had a gold chain on.
That's
with a suit jacket on, and then the khakis and the loafers. I think that if you go through that amount of effort to go out, feel like you're overcompensating.
What's up with the button the shirt thing?
I don't understand that. But I'll be honest, I'm perfectly fine with a sport coat and a pair of jeans.
Yeah,
like I'd be.
Oh, the jeans, okay.
I've never been okay
with that.
Now, there's probably not many. I mean, you would have to, if we were going to pick areas in this neck of the woods, that would be an Ogilvy thing.
Yeah,
that would
Capital, like an event.
Capital event. Maybe the Ellie and Jack's.
Yeah.
If you're going to go
have
a drink.
Yeah, that was like the Dancing with the Stars. You guys dressed pretty nice.
Yeah, right? If somebody's choosing to do that at the Warwood Vets every time they run,
like
I would agree.
If I see a guy at the 19th hole dressed like Eddie, he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I can understand.
What about
like our buddy that's in prison wearing a fucking suit everywhere.
Yeah, that's all he had. He's like,
come on, man.
Our buddy.
Give it a rest.
We could go on about that.
I want to interview.
Do you think? What about the same four a cowboy hat around here? And I guarantee we have some listeners that
if that's
wear
your
cowboy
get up. I'm cool with that.
I mean,
because that fits into me around here better than the suit stuff.
Now, what do you think about a cowboy hat and then dressed from head to toe like Yellowstone,
I got no issue.
Checkered
with it.
Shirt, leather vest,
boot cut
starch jeans, and then snakeskin boots.
So I have a better. Here's my. I'm going to clarify your question. My question is Jeff Doyle doing that, or is there a true cowboy that lives
exactly
on a farm?
Because
right. If I did that, I'd hope to God you'd look at me like, what the fuck are you
doing?
See,
we know you, but if that is truly who you are, I'm with you, Jeff. 100%.
And I think it's different because you had mentioned last week about seeing the guys from the
PBR.
The PBR.
You see Nick wearing it?
But I was like,
that would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
He just comes in, cowboy Nick, big belt buckle and hat.
Ass,
you know what?
Man, a big ass. His belt buckle would look like that coaster. Yeah, yeah. Big ass
and then he comes in and says wearing that same outfit.
Maybe that's what we should do next Pine Room season. We all just come in as
I think
cowboys.
You guys should do that at Halloween.
Apparently, next week, Soup, we're in this business competition, and there's a girl that sells. Her business is like these slim helmets that go under your cowboy hat. And she's in this business competition that we're in, and apparently Soup got us hooked up to go to her farm and ride horses next week.
Oh, wow.
Be careful.
So, yeah.
You want to end up like Christopher Reeve.
I know.
I won't ever. I love horses, but I ain't never getting on one.
They kind of scare me, but I think I feel like I should.
Too powerful for me.
I feel like I can't go like dressed up like this. Like, I'm going to have to. I got to get a.
You got to wear some chaps.
I got to wear
chaps.
Yeah, like without jeans
assless
on.
Chaps.
With my ass stick.
See, wait. Nick would wear those without jeans underneath.
Are you talking about this farm or the business competition?
No, for the farm. Well, yeah, I guess we're going to this farm.
I just hope you survive the farm so you can do the competition.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little nervous, but.
Break your collar,
man.
But I feel like I need to wear at least like a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I was gonna say you need. We talked about the Stetson hats.
You can wear a ball cap on a Cowboys wear a ball cap.
That's true. But like you said, like if you wore that, obviously we'd all be like, Jeff, come on.
I would hope. Fuck.
But like, yeah, like if you just
this is my new look, guys.
You happen to go into Kroger and you look down the aisle and Jeff's got like boots with spurs.
Yeah, he actually did that at the Rivers this past week.
Nobody knew me.
Everyone is incognito.
Jeff's walking down the freezer aisle and you just hear clink, clink, clink.
And actually, every time I seen somebody, I just flicked my cap.
Yes.
Ma'am? He's got a, howdy, ma'am.
He's got a
got
piece
a, like
of
a big chaw in.
Yeah, he's got like a piece of wheat in his. He's like chewing on a thing.
A piece of wheat.
Oh God!
But then again, in saying that, I when I see somebody around here, simply because like people around here are country, but there's not like cowboys around here. There's not
poser
like
country.
Yeah, there's not
there's
like
some people.
People that are like going out and wrangling bulls in the Wheeling area. So when I see somebody dressed up from head to toe like they're from I don't know Wisconsin
Wisconsin. Nah, they dairy farms up there.
Yeah, well, Montana. Heavy.
Yeah, there's a like we're like in redneck. We're like redneck country. I feel like the people dress. If you're dressed like a cowboy, that's like Western. Montana, Wyoming, Idaho,
sky country.
Like but all that. We're in
southern. Yeah,
we're in like
Texas,
moron,
New Mexico.
Like, moron redneck country.
No, you're right.
I do think though, at the end of the day, not to contradict you guys, I do think you have your people that, like, if you go on the outskirts of Wheeling, the people that own a whole bunch of property and stuff like that,
yeah, there
and they've
are
grown
some.
Up on the farms and stuff like that. I do think we have some true cowboys, but they're minimal, very, very minimal.
I
agree with your statement. I think we probably have more fucking redneck.
I would say,
we got a lot of those. Just go in the basement at Wheeling Park.
Listen, oh yeah,
that's like going to another country.
We saw a truck yesterday in Wheeling. That literally,
no, it was like dual.
Literally looked like it was from a scary movie. It had it was an old Ford, probably pre-80s, like real heavy made truck. And in the front, there were bullet holes in the windshield. And then this guy had a big metal bull on the dashboard. And it looked like if it was after you, if you looked in your mirror and you're driving home and it was after you, you'd think this is it. This is
you're like Dave, man.
I'm finished.
We had that the bumper where it had those almost like teeth on the front.
Yeah,
you know, when, like when he gets caught under the bus and he's jumping on the bus on his duel.
That piece of shit car.
If you know what we're talking about, where's the duel?
It's behind the bush.
Oh, it's behind the bush. The duel sign. Yeah, if you've never seen that Academy Award winning film, Duel.
But I would embrace that cowboy, maybe not the light, but the look. Like if you know, if we were in that, territory where people dress like that, or where I brought up that way, and like I said, that guy looked sharp last week.
I think. Would you rather be if you went into a bar, like a standard bar? What's like a middle of the line bar that we could say you'd find any range of people?
And
we
like generations probably.
Yeah, generations.
Yeah, probably. Right, so,
River
City generations, and you walked in and you saw a guy wearing what I described first. So a suit jacket, like wearing a button-down shirt that's unbuttoned, hair slicked back,
gold chains,
or a guy that's dressed to the nines like a cowboy. Who would you go up to first?
Probably cowboy.
Well,
I don't think I'd be approaching either one of them. Yeah, quite honest. But
But all right, who would you not like absolutely?
Chris can answer because he was talking to a bull rider.
Well, yeah, and I took last week. So I'll have a biased opinion. I'll definitely because he was so polite.
Anybody
yeah.
you could tell he was genuine.
Yeah.
Too,
oh, he was. Yeah. There was nothing fake about that.
Or
guy.
Well, you get into your scenario, Jeff, where the guy where you checked the guy at the door when you asked if it was a line. Last week, might be that guy with the suit on.
I think if you get to the point of, the typical, and I hate to be stereotypical, the typical look of, like you said, if there's the hair slicked back and he's got some curly cues coming out because the button down with the gold chain, that smells of douchebag.
Yeah.
Well, then he's
probably it doesn't mean he's a douchebag, but it kind of smells as a douchebag.
But then he probably put like five handfuls of cologne
on. A lot of aftershave.
You can smime with you on the
Old Spice. Fuck
that.
I don't want to stay clear from that guy.
Does that bother you when you're in a scenario where you're it's like somebody comes in a room and you instantly the whole room smells like them? Does that bother you?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a girl, it's a different story.
Yeah, but some, yeah. It depends on the fragrance.
Well, it depends on the girl, too.
Well, I guess,
she's
I guess
yeah. fucking 300-pound girl, no.
It smells like she 600
pound
life.
She had to put that on.
I would rather the...
Well, and yeah. I don't really care what... She could have be swimming in pond salt. Yeah, it's gonna make a difference.
Now, do you guys wear cologne? Do you guys wear cologne?
Not like a heavy...
I used to have some.
I go wrist, and then that's all. I keep it on my wrists.
I agree. If it overtakes room, but I'm a bit, I like cologne. I think obviously
yeah.
smell
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I do
about
too.
It. But I think
I don't have a reason to wear it.
But I agree. If you come in and overtake the room, you're a fucking idiot.
Well, yeah, but I will say,
some
I would rather
body spray.
Yeah,
help
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I got some.
I would
body
rather
spray
that
too.
Than a guy smelling like shit.
True.
Like,
oh yeah, but what if they try to mask the shit?
Well, that's even worse. I think that's worse.
And same with the BO, man. That BO at the somebody tries to. Oh
no, I think I honestly think that's worse because
you get that up at Wheeling Park too.
Oh man, you have no like literally.
How do people not know when they smell?
I think we've had this conversation before.
Actually, it hasn't been crazy long ago.
Yeah, and I to that point. I don't. People say nose blindness is a thing, but like if you stink, you stink.
See, I think so too. And, there's no way you don't know.
And unless it's just pure laziness and.
Well, we talked about it, and actually not to beat a dead horse, but we talked about like if you go out and you work hard in the yard for 6 or 7 hours and you have that, you there's no fucking way that you don't know you stink.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no way. But you earned. That smell. Now you're going to go take a shower.
Right, Jeff, even if somehow that day you worked 7 hours in your yard and for whatever reason when you were done, you lost your sense of smell, you pretty much assume you smell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you're going to go get a shower, right? You're going to go get a shower.
Because there's context clues. Like if you haven't showered for a week, there's a chance, even like you said, if you can't smell yourself, right. you smell like dog shit.
Right. Right. Or Jeff looked and he was digging shit and he's got
dirt
under
his
nails.
Nuts are stuck to your leg. I mean, it's all right, I got it. I'm a mess. I need to go in front of a fire hose
like Rambo.
Going into prison.
Ticky-tack sack. God damn it, peeling this shit off.
Right, so as long as you didn't smell, then Cheryl could say, well, honey, remember, we got to go to dinner at 7. Right? You're just going to change
Let me throw on another shirt. I'm good to go.
I don't smell.
Right, I'm good.
Dirt all over himself. Like his brows just beaten down.
So gross.
I instantly, as soon as I have something, if my... fingernails, like if I had been doing something with like dirt or something, as soon as I see it in my nails, I
how much
it,
outdoor labor do you do these
not
days?
Much. Not much.
Not that was Jared's wheelhouse.
Not much, but I every now and then I dabble. Like today, I had to get a ladder out.
Wow. When I think outdoor work, I usually think.
Hey, we had to get a ladder out.
Would you have to clean
down?
The gutters?
Yeah.
Was it raining?
It's pouring now.
I mean, when you had to get the gutter out of the.
Oh, I was so mad.
Oh yeah, Job had a good. He had a good. A good one yesterday. He had to get something from up top in the shed, and
well, the shed has like
a little loft in the shed, and I thought there was a ladder in there, and he yelled, "Is there? I had to get a ladder." I said, "No, there's one in there," but there wasn't. And instead of going to get one, he just instead hops up on a bar stool that we have in there.
They're the fabric.
They're fabric, and he's up on there, and you could probably know where this is going. He steps up on the thing, and he's looking. Right when he's getting ready to get down,
poof,
boom.
Right through it.
Right through the – his foot goes right through the
I thought I tore
– bar stool.
My shoulder hurts today. I thought I blew my shoulder out because, like, the lip was here, and I fell, and all my weight went, like, on my shoulder. I thought I blew my shoulder out. I'd hurt so bad.
Were you pissed?
I was so stupid. Like, I was – number one, I
wasn't
mad.
What were you looking for up there? Butter knife?
Yeah.
Bar of soap?
No, I've had this bag that I had books in that I've been looking for like forever. And I've been looking for that and I can't find it.
They were in the shed?
A bag of books.
Well, I thought maybe I put it in there because like sometimes I go outside like if I have it and I use them to write or something or whatever. And then I might have just put them in there if it was a nice day out. Because I knew I was going to come back and maybe I didn't come back, but I haven't found them.
What kind of books were they?
They're a book for I'm gonna be nerdy here.
I'm sorry.
All you nerds.
I'm nerdy too.
So I play Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know if you guys know. Mm. Old 70s game, 80s game. Everybody thought it was cult classic. But they're books. They're like guidebooks for stuff. And I was looking for them, and I've spent, I mean, it was like at least $200 worth of books in this thing. Mm-hmm. And I can't find it. And it's fucking eating away at me. Because I can't, I never would have taken them out of the house. And the only place I did would have taken them.
Did you ask your father about this?
Yeah, he doesn't.
That's
I think he could have mistakenly did something with them.
Yeah, because I knew where they were for like the longest time. They were sitting in the living room, and then one day.
Well, if they end up in the trash, we know who did that.
I remember you guys ran out of candy on Halloween one year, and there was one last kid. I don't know if they got that fight. Here's the book.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
there you go.
That could have been. Yeah. My dad's not very good at that. My mom does not get too happy with him about putting stuff somewhere or throwing things away.
Is he bad about that?
Oh, horrible. Real bad. Awful.
Speaking
awful
of throwing
it.
Things away, a guy who might have thrown his career away, Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. What's going on there, Chris?
I don't know enough about it. Other than it just seems like just so much controversy and a lot of finger pointing and blaming everything away from him. It's, you know.
Well, he's the best, Chris.
Yeah.
What'd you think of his press conference yesterday? Well, it wasn't even really a press conference.
Well, I mean, but he's denying everything, obviously.
Yes.
So how did the guy steal $4 million from
him? We can't figure that out. We have no idea how a guy got a line of credit that size.
How many different questions are there that are unanswered?
And none of them not only have they not been answered, they haven't been asked. No one's asked.
Yeah, you can't
ask.
Only
people are asking ourselves, but what the hell does it matter if we ask?
Only now, after that press conference yesterday, more questions have arose. Mm-hmm.
Why are him and in the interpreter good buddies, and then he calls them business partners in another interview, and then one time he says I paid off his debts for him. The other time he said he had nothing to do with it, and he didn't have anything to do with the gambling. He didn't know about it. So there's a lot of holes in this.
I don't understand how, if he says that Ipe's been stealing money, I don't understand how he has access to his money. I don't understand that. It makes
like,
no sense.
Do you give your employees?
He's just got cash laying around.
Like Jeff, do you give your employees at work access to your bank account? I sure as fuck don't.
Fuck no.
So how in the hell are they stealing from this guy if he says we're not even friends? We don't have a social life together.
Yeah,
we're
not even friends. He said we're not friends.
So then what's he claiming a relationship?
They're just business partners.
See that actually? Right
even
there,
though Ipe follows him everywhere.
In my personal opinion, if I couldn't speak the language in the country that I was in, it sure as fuck wouldn't be some dude that I did, because you got to spend 24/7, 365.
Correct.
It would be a buddy.
Somebody
like,
you're comfortable
somebody
with.
Comfortable
yes.
with.
Yes. And it's somebody
absolutely.
That has to know your candor. Like, yes. Like, yeah. Like, the, exactly. Like you would be a good, you guys would be good translators for me, for somebody else, because you know how I talk and how I word things. Whereas like if you had a stranger that just didn't know
you could tell yesterday during that press conference that I don't know if the guy, the other interpreter, was nervous or he wasn't very nervous.
How about
very
your first
good?
Day on the job? You got to deal with
oh
that.
Oh my gosh!
Jeez, welcome to the
horrible.
Dodgers, buddy. Here
he
you
was
go.
Awful.
But,
yes.
but I mean,
so
all you have to do is just relay what he says, though.
Well, in theory, but then you got to deliver it in a way that maybe is Americanized. Maybe he just says it in gibberish Japanese, and I don't know.
Us.
I feel like interpreters take a lot of liberties, because I was saying that on the radio. If you guys ever watch those UFC fights, Joe Rogan will ask these Brazilians or somebody, a Japanese, there's a lot of Asians too, so you answer the question and a guy will go on for 2.5 minutes and then the interpreter will say like, oh, he said thanks for everybody for coming and supporting him and the fighter he was going against really did a nice job. And it's like, he said 5,000 words, you said 15. There's got to be something missing there.
So the guy that can't speak English talks for a half hour.
Yeah, he must give a little synopsis of it or a little summary instead of the actual thing that he says. So I said today, Chris, and I'll ask you and Jeff because you weren't on the radio. So is Shohei the one lying or is the interpreter lying?
I think Shohei.
I'm going to say Shohei.
Nah. And actually, I'm going to probably go both. And that was actually to piggyback on what you said, Jared. And I didn't get to watch the press conference, but I understand you would probably be nervous no matter what. But if he was excessively nervous in his body, at the end of the day, that shows guilt too. Because like, if it's pretty black and white and didn't do nothing wrong, then really you maybe have a little nervous just because you're up in front of a crowd and stuff like that. But you wouldn't be excessively nervous.
I think if you went up there, if any one of us, I would think if we had to go up there and face the music and get hit with all these questions. But if you were there to tell the truth and everything was, I think you'd pull that off. But if you got to fucking keep spewing lies and getting hit with questions you aren't expecting or you don't know how to answer.
Wouldn't you guys get angry?
Yeah,
like, I would be pissed. Yeah. And you know what? Again, I'll say this. you should need to learn the fucking language of the country that you're working in.
Yep.
Like, you should at least make a little bit of an effort, because you can't just plead ignorance and say, well, I didn't see the things on the wall of the locker room. I can't read. Well, that's on you, man. You need to educate yourself. You're making hundreds of millions of dollars in our country. You should learn the language. I mean, I'm fine with them being here, but come on.
I tell you what, though, that a lot of people will be butthurt at that statement, but I'll be honest with you, there is not a more accurate fucking statement at the end of the day. It'd be no different if we fucking rolled into Japan or if we rolled into China. To me, it's a sign of disrespect to that culture that you don't take at least the vested interest to try to learn the language.
He's on vacation here for a week.
He's been in the league for, Jesus, like six... That's bullshit. 6 years now.
That's becoming a big problem. And Chris, you can attest, across sports of all kinds, these guys don't want, they're too lazy to learn the fucking language.
Oh, yeah.
And it really is a sign to me of laziness and just
entitlement.
You don't have the desire to assimilate to the culture. And it's disrespectful. And our American people, or North American people, are paying your fucking salaries.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm all for these guys coming, these internationals. I think it's great. They come the right way. They're not climbing over a fence like these other idiots. But, like, you got to do your part. If I lived in Asia, damn sure no, I would be trying to learn the languages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least to be able to, the minimum.
Minimum communication at the very least.
You could have
a basic conversation.
Yes.
Nothing's worse than having an interpreter come up with somebody.
Does he not speak any English?
Very, very broken, like, just simple,
like you said,
simple
sayings. He should be better than that.
I wouldn't endorse him if I was working at a company. I'd say, you learn the language, we're not endorsing you until you do.
I would agree with that.
Because I'm not marketing to fucking Asia when I'm here in fucking the United States. Sorry.
Well, it's amazing could you imagine the turmoil in Major League Baseball if he, which I think it would be better if he just came out and said, you know what, I was doing it, like, that I, sorry, I apologize.
Didn't gamble on baseball.
And then if they found that he actually was doing it, Major League Baseball would be, the sports world would just burn down because how big of a deal it was when he signed. He hasn't even played a game. Well, he played two, I guess, in Korea. But honestly, I would like – not that I don't – I mean, I don't mind Shohei.
I mean, I got nothing against him. I don't care for him not learning the language, kind of just pleading ignorance like, oh, I got taken advantage of and there's nothing else to see here. There's more to explain here, and I don't like the way he's handling it. Whoever his PR team is, they're not doing a very good job. And if I was the Dodgers – I'd be extremely concerned because this is going to be, affect their entire clubhouse the whole season.
Oh my, 100%.
These other guys are not going to be able to concentrate on their fucking jobs because of this guy, and he needed to squash this immediately. And he didn't do a very good job.
And it's amazing too is that our friend Michael Grove is on the team and around it.
Unbelievable!
It's so funny
with this.
that he's around it.
Maybe he'll bring Shohei to the Pine Room next year. And we throw around a few DraftKings bets.
Oh, that would be one. That'd be awesome.
I ain't fucking.
Jump could get him on those UFC fights.
Breaking: Shohei Ohtani shows up at Pine Room.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you this much:
we treat him like one of the guys.
Well, we tried to at least, but I think at the end of the day, like if we go down and we don't stop at a stop sign, and the cop pulls us over, and we tell the cop, well, I didn't know I was supposed to stop at the stop sign. Ignorance is bliss, right? And we're going to get a ticket.
Dang,
so, I mean, at the end of the day, this is no different. Yeah, I'll be honest.
Now, who is that said that? Is that you that said that the other day? If it was fucking some shitty guy for the Pirates, he'd fucking be out of the league already.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, if it was Jared Triola, you said.
He'd already be out of baseball. He'd be playing for Frontier League.
And obviously, I think they'll look at this totally different because – you know, he's probably, what, 26, 27?
Yeah,
I mean, he's the highest paid player. Now, Pete Rose was different because he was a manager, right? So his playing days were over.
Yeah.
So they're going to do everything. This guy's, I mean,
it
he
just
might get
doesn't add up. The explanations were not good enough for
but
me.
If he's guilty, baseball.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be shell-shocked if they did, too, to be honest.
I just don't like that.
But I wish they would. Fuck him.
Exactly. Fuck that.
I don't like that he didn't take any questions. I think that makes things look so much worse that he just says, okay, I'm saying my statement. I'm out. Right. I'm going to say what I want and I'm leaving. Like I don't like that.
He needs to explain how this dude just from under his fucking nose took
$450 million. It would make things so much better for him. It would
or 4.5 million.
If people,
that's a little too much.
Yeah.
That's more like his contract.
Yeah. If he would just address everybody's questions, explain what happened, I think it would clear it off if he was guilty, which him not answering questions to me makes it seem like he's.
I would agree.
I told this to Nick. If he was gambling that amount of money, and you said you thought it was awesome that he was a gambler, but at some point, how much money did he make when he signed?
$700 million.
$700 million.
That's not even close to what he makes in endorsements.
At some point,
it's probably worth a billion already.
Regardless of whether he wanted to gamble or not, wouldn't you say I have enough?
Yeah.
Like I have what I want now, and I have $700 million. I don't need to gamble.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's say if did anybody hit that lottery yet?
They have not.
No.
Okay. If Mark Dalberg wins that. Is he going to say, you know what, I have enough money, I'm going to stop gambling?
No, he's going to gamble more. It's a great point.
Exactly. Do you think so? No. If that's in your blood, like some of the guys in our group that just like to gamble, and that's fine, they're not going to stop because they've got enough money.
Do you think the more you have, the more you gamble? Or is it the more you have, like would it just be like, I'm going to throw $100 on yada, 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 if it hits, it hits? Or would it
be
like?
I bet though, because when we're around your dad, you know, sometimes he takes these losses or these bad beats as if, you know, your house blew up. So maybe he won't. Maybe the losses won't be as painful because he would have so much money.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I still think
if you're a gambler at heart, I agree. It's only gonna emphasize you being a gambler at heart.
Would you just start betting ridiculous amounts?
I think so. Yeah. At the end of the day, I really do. Yeah.
Yeah, because then you have so much
money. That, obviously, that buffer. I mean, unless you're a complete idiot, you would have to be a complete idiot to blow through that money. I mean, that kind.
Well,
of
I
contract.
Guess yeah. It's funny that like, well, he's got $700 million, but he deferred $680 million of it. So
he did a Bobby Bonilla thing.
Yeah. So he's
which
got
was
a
genius.
It is genius.
Day.
So he's maybe he is hurting a little bit on money.
Maybe so, right?
He could be. He's like, hey, I need this money
anyway.
I don't know who his agent is.
I don't know.
It's not Bobby. Scott Boris. Get dickhead.
He's
a dick.
He is a dickhead. He thought all these players represents this season was going to get millions and millions of dollars. They all got about like a quarter of what they were asking.
And he done.
Dumb. I hate that dickhead.
Yep. Yeah, he's a fucking douchebag.
And how come where's the guy that looks nervous?
How come that guy's not looking up?
The translator. The translator, he doesn't know the way that, there's dickhead Ipe.
Who's Ipe?
Ipe is the
interpreter.
The
guy that got
fired. Yeah.
This guy in this video right here is the one that's nervous.
Yeah, well, because he's the new interpreter now, and you can tell that he's not very comfortable with.
He took over for the fired guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
guys just call him Ipe like
it's easier than saying Ipe. Kamawaki Yokachoin.
Yeah, it's Ipe. Ipe Mazuhara.
I'm gonna say they kind of look like they're related, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. They kind of look like they could be brothers, cousins, something.
Never agreed to pay off the debt, or you know, make payments to the bookmaker.
He's reading off a piece of paper, so I mean, I don't know. I think it's stupid.
Here's my question, though. So his interpreter spoke, and then nobody asked anything, and then he kept on going with. So he has to understand something. Like, did you see that interaction?
Yeah, I thought. As soon as he did that, I was like, well, he must have this beat it out so that he says it. His translator replies it, and then as soon as that guy gets done, he goes on to the next point.
Okay,
yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think I really, more so the fact that he's betting, I couldn't care if he was betting and then that, forfeits his integrity for the league. I don't care. He mashes balls a million miles or whatever. But I just don't like the from a human standpoint, you have money in a life that is unlike anything 99% of the population will ever see, and you're going to not only risk your career but forfeit all the kids and people that have looked up to you and have bought merchandise for you and have just praised you on social media. You're going to risk all of that because you just want to gamble on whatever. I just don't think that's. I think it's so wrong, and I think, like Chris said, I don't think he deserves. I think it'd be great if he got booted.
I'm not
going to
miss the guy.
So when you say that, do you think that the world has changed so much that? Let's be honest. There's so many figures now that don't live up to the expectations, don't live up to that where I'm a role model. Like, do you think everything you just got done saying, do you think that thought process is gone now? Like, at the end of the day, you know how they used to, like, people used to perceive themselves as role models, so they would hold themselves accountable and be that figure that people would say, oh, you know what, Jubb's a really good guy to look up to. I hate to say it, but I do think that percentage is very, very small now and gone. Because there's not too many people nowadays that are in the limelight or make a lot of money that actually are role model citizens that you would want your kid to look up to. And that's kind of sad.
I'm glad you brought this up because this is a good example for me to go on my spiel about Caitlin Clark. I don't watch enough to know a lot about her. I don't know about her in her everyday life. But for me, the reason I get so, I think, upset with her is she is in a very niche position where not a lot of people there's not a lot of people that will look up to her as a role model because, let's face it, women's basketball, especially when you get up into above college level and into college level, is not in general as popular as professional baseball, professional football, college football. It's just not. So she is a shining light for girls that are aspiring to be into that position where they normally don't get to see role models like that in that position. So for her to act like a spoiled brat and flip out on the court and pretend that she's let this fame and stuff get to her head and she's a expletives I don't want to say because I don't know her, but I just think you're taking advantage of people that respect you, and you're taking advantage of the position that you've been given by, you know, the media. I don't know. I think that especially for younger people, I think you're right. I don't know if it's.
I just think those days. It's so sad, but I do. I think those days are gone. I don't even know what I'm even trying to allude to, but I don't think that. I don't think people care. I really don't. You know, the other day, from a work side of things, like somebody said to me, they used to manage, their management was more in the 90s. And I made the statement, I said, it would be really cool to manage people hands down. And I know this is rainbows and butterflies, but to manage people that are all like-minded. Like, and you don't have to have the same, don't get me wrong, you don't have to have the same opinions, but at the end of the day, that everybody, I guess, is there for the common goal. Everybody maybe makes about the same amount of money. Everybody comes from a good background. It would be really cool to manage that. And she goes, in the 90s, you did kind of have that. You kind of had, you manage good people, come from good backgrounds, this and that. And it went as far as to say, talking about, do people really care about, man, I work for the best place. I work for the best hospital. I work for the best sales group. I don't know if really people even give a fuck about that anymore at the end of the day. It's about a paycheck.
Yeah.
Go make a paycheck every 2 weeks, get in the daily grind of the hamster wheel. Nobody cares about working. I don't know. In my personal opinion, what do you guys think about that? Different soapbox. We just went completely left to center. I'm sorry.
Well, no. My question was going to be to you guys, who do you think, like all time, has been the best role model athlete besides LeBron? I'm kidding. That was a joke.
God, he's,
no, he's but, the anti-hero. But who do you think has been the best role model athlete?
Derek like Jeter.
I was going to say Jeter.
Nah, fuck him.
What did he do?
He
wasn't good enough to be a role model.
I'd have to go way back, and I can't even think.
Nobody comes to mind for me.
These guys are millionaires, and I
Nick Chubb.
Yeah, he's one of the classiest guys. I agree. Shit, who in the fuck were we just? I'd have to go way, way back. When Barkley made that comment years ago about I'm not a role model. And I mean, if I was in that position, I wouldn't want to be a role model, but I'd just try to live like an upstanding citizen, not get in trouble. And that doesn't mean I have to go out and sign fucking 5 million autographs. And if they don't like it, tough. But I'm, you know, some of these guys that are just, you know, their behavior off the court, even on the court or the football field, it's just ridiculous. So I can't really answer that question.
Me either. I'd have to think about it for a long time.
My last super role model would be Mr. Rogers.
Oh, he was the best.
Yeah, he was.
I think he's probably the one. Fred. Him and Bob Ross are like the best people.
You can just sit on Julie a rainy Childs. Sunday afternoon, put on Ross
Mr.
for half
Rogers,
an hour.
Bob Ross, and Steve Irwin.
But here's the question. What defines, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, what defines a role model? So you just got done saying from a standpoint, like, if you don't want to sign autographs, then obviously you're a dick. And then here's the deal. He's not a good role model. Like, I don't even know if anybody could truly conclude to say, okay, this is the true cookie cutter. Like, if I was going to say, like, right now, and I'm not even a big baseball guy, like a Mike Trout. Mike Trout keeps his nose clean. You never hear about him getting in trouble. He's never in the limelight. I mean, you would never – I don't even know if the dude's married and got kids.
He does. He does.
So, like, to me – if you were trying to be stereotypical, you would say, because he keeps his nose clean, does it, he plays the game the way that it should be, I think, right?
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
what most people say. So, but
that's a good example.
I got a
good
Mike Trout.
But,
yeah.
But none of them should be role models. It should be your
right.
parents.
Yeah.
Your
right.
grandparents.
Yeah,
your
yeah. yeah. I've never once in my life emulated an athlete. There was guys that I respect the hell out of and were my favorites, but I never would ever in a spot where I was like, oh man, like I'm just desiring to be like this person or that I would look up to them so much. No, because I came from like a normal home where I had adult role models in my life, not just my dad, but like in my mom, but like my relatives and, you know, or further along the line, family, friends, people that you actually know and you know they're good and you know you respect them. I'm just guessing at these athletes. I don't know if they're good people. I have no fucking clue.
I think I take a lot from, I like what this person has done. I like, you know, how they have managed to get in the position that they are. But I always want to get there and then do what I can do, see what I can do. Like I don't necessarily want to be exactly in, I'll just say an athlete. Not that I look at up at athletes in the slightest regard, but say Derek Jeter. Like I never wanted to, or a pitcher, Kershaw. Like I never wanted to be. I wish I was him. Right, I wish right. I was him. I want to be in his position. I want everybody thinking of me like him. I wanted to be me. In that position, like I wanted to be
to get the opportunity that he had,
because I think I don't know.
Go ahead.
I was saying I agree with Jeff though. We do have a problem though, whether we like it or not. The way that people, and again, I'm not being critical of people's parenting skills, but it seems like today's parents want their kids to be so successful. They want them to be the next superstars at all costs, and they blind themselves by it, and the kids then emulate these people. So you're kind of like what Chris said, you don't really want to be a role model, but in a way you are, because these parents are pushing their kids to be this good at this sport, and they're telling them how great they are, and they got to do this, this, and this. And then they are emulating and watching these mostly idiots that are athletes nowadays. Not all of them, but there's a lot of cases where, my God, would you want your kid to follow? Like, honestly, even guys like in the NBA, like Steph Curry, a lot of people think he's like this great guy. I don't. Like, I would look a little bit further into him. But, like, kids emulate these people, whether it's the way they behave or just the way they play the game. Like, you have little kids now shooting these half-court three-pointers and pick up basketball YMCA games because Steph Curry does it. Yeah. So they think it's cool.
I think, at least at a young age, especially with sports, I realized, and to my own demise, really, that I was never going to be Michael Grove. Like I realized early in like freshman year, senior year of high school, I'm never going to be that. Like that's just never going to happen for me. So I think part of that is realizing, like especially for kids, is realizing what your potential. Like I like realizing your potential.
It's the parents' job to help them.
Very
well said.
You don't have to. You know, just because you're not going to be the next Michael Grove or the next Clayton Kershaw doesn't mean you can't be somebody that's you know worthwhile in other positions or aspects of your life.
Totally agree with that.
So I think when I got into college, I was, you know, my shoulder was hurting me all the time. I wasn't great. I knew I wasn't great. I didn't work at it to be great, but I knew that my ceiling wasn't going to be high. So I started focusing my aspects of life into focusing my energy into different aspects of life that I could be good at, that I could focus and be more successful in. And I think a lot of people don't do that. I think people
and their parents don't help them at all by telling them that they should be.
A lot
that.
Of those kids, like they'll say, I'm the next Manny Machado, and that's it. There's no other outcome. I'm going to keep going until I'm the best.
Doesn't matter how hard you work. Look at him. He worked his ass off his entire life for baseball.
He
loves it, and he still does, but it doesn't mean he's going to be in the big leagues.
Yeah. I understood that.
You got natural-born gifts. Some of us just don't have those.
What happens to that person or that kid growing up that's the only focus, and then realize eventually that when the dream's over, then what?
Exactly.
You know, then are they just totally devastated because – you know, because you worked hard. And that's another thing. I mean, you know, when you get these parents or whatever, and, you know, a lot of it, yeah, sure, you can work hard. If you just don't have it, you don't have it. Oh, my son works hard. Like, well, can he shoot? No, not really. Well, can he field a grounder? Well, he struggled a bit. I tell you what, he's the hardest worker on the team. I'm sorry. I mean,
that can only take you so far.
Right.
And you can be a hard-ass worker. But,
and that's commendable.
And
totally commendable.
People that are like that, if you could harness that hard working and shove it into right. something else,
but
you can go somewhere and be great.
Because people who are hard workers at one thing, they were going to find something else they love that they're going to work just as hard at. It's just that's just a natural process of life. You'll figure out things that work better 100%. For you.
So when you came at the end of the day, when you realize in life, and actually it's really good to be in that part of life. Like when you realize that there's always going to be somebody better looking, there's always going to be somebody smarter, there's always going to be somebody more athletic. There's always going to be, that's the reason why there's fucking winners and losers. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. That's the nature of the beast. But I agree with you. As long as you can harness whatever you're trying to bust your balls in and maybe forecast it in some other way. But I agree. It's a parent problem. It's the fact of matter. Everybody needs a fucking trophy. So you came to that realization when you were wet?
Yeah, I was probably getting out of high school. I was like, my ceiling for this is only going to be so high. Like, I know, because post one baseball was probably the peak of playing, and I was done with that, going on to college. I knew that my peak was, I'm not going to go D1. I'm not going to be throwing 98 miles per hour, breaking a curveball that goes 6 feet and, you know, buries a guy. It's never going to happen. And I knew that. And I peaked in like middle school when I was like 6 foot and everybody else was 4 foot. But I realized that. And I was like, well, you know, I'm a creative guy. I love creativity. I like doing creative stuff. And then I was like, you know, this isn't going to work. I'm not going to fly high in this category. So I might as well shift directions and try to put this in. And I changed degrees and focused on my degree. And I blew through a degree that I probably would have had to take a couple more years to finish. And I had a successful end of my college career, which I think if I wouldn't have done that and tried to beat like iron baseball to its very last fiber, I would have been.
And you'd have been miserable.
I would have hated it.
I won't lie.
You already were. I was so happy the day you quit baseball. Because it was like a 5,000-pound weight off of his back. I felt bad because I know you felt bad letting your dad down. But we try to tell you, don't worry. It's not as bad as you think.
That day, and Nick Nardone can agree to this, was the greatest day
of all your lives.
It seriously was like it changed. I don't think we would be doing this if he hadn't have quit that day. I'll never forget, and he can't. Me and Nick were sitting on the couch in our house at West Lib, and he comes in and he said, "Well, I did it," and we're all said, "No," we were like, "Thank God, thank God, it's over." Because
you're
cause
like it, a new man.
Because me and him were so. I mean, obviously, it was kind of a bummer, like, you know, like he's not going to play.
Knew it was time.
Oh, I knew it was time. Well, and really, me and him were never. It was such a pain in the ass because at the time we still had one car. He was going to practice at one time. I was going to practice at a different time because we're basically two different teams because of pitchers and position players. And it just the team itself was not good.
And I'll say this. Fuck it. The program didn't help.
Oh, absolutely.
The program didn't help.
Of course.
No,
I understand
so that,
totally.
That was already like, I'm already on the edge. Yeah. And then having to go into that and start into somewhere where the environment's
where you
not
really seem like you're wasting your life and time.
It's not conducive to productivity and actually bettering myself.
Sure.
Even if I was like going there, getting a good workout in, you know, being a better physically, like working out, you know, being part of a team that was cohesive and we liked each other and it was good. It just wasn't that.
People think the only people that walk away from sports are like people that maybe think they're not going to cut it, they're not good enough or whatever. But I've seen people, girls and guys, walk away from sports kind of in their primes. Like, these people are all conference type athletes, all region type, all Americans, and they're like, I just don't feel this anymore. I don't like the way that either the program's going or whatever. I'm focusing on my life after this.
Yeah.
So it's a big step in everybody's life to do that.
One of my things is to, I mean, if you're making scholarship money and you're actually, you know, affording your way through high school, I guess, or through college, then that's one thing.
Right.
But you also have to look at it. I never understood walk-ons. I never understood that. Like, if you want to walk onto a place and play for no money, you know, number one, you weren't. I mean, unless it's somewhere where you didn't go, and then you're walking on, you know, for people that
they
maybe
unknowingly
don't
know.
Yeah,
you.
Maybe don't know them. But like, if you're a guy that got cut from your college team or something, it didn't. I mean, I don't even think they do that. Do they cut people from the team?
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, yeah. if you're not recruited
and you can't play, and then you waste 4 years of your life riding the bench, being. What are you doing? Some people need that, though.
Some people need that was what they needed in their life. Like, I don't know why. I can't answer that. But I don't. That wouldn't be me.
We had a bunch of guys like that. And it just, it's what they,
to me,
it's
I
what
just,
they loved.
But then you look back at it, and, like, to me, those couple years that I barely remember, like, it just was a waste of my time.
Well, for instance, like, I know a lot of guys, Jared, you probably know some guys like this, but there was guys on the West Slip baseball team back when I was in school and then when I worked at the school who were, obviously, like Chris, great kid, worked hard, but you knew they were never going to get it. But maybe they wanted to coach high school down the road.
Yeah.
A lot of guys went on to that. So
sticking
around a program and learning the goods and the bads about baseball – you weren't ever going to do that. That wasn't your thing. So it made sense for you.
No.
But for them finding a home with the program where they could learn the goods and the bads, and they could grow as a potential coach, then I can see that.
Well, Jared, you stuck it out the whole time. You played, you know, as much eligibility as you had. But, John, would it have been different for you if, and you mentioned the program, if, and I don't know how many kids you had on it, but just say you had 25 kids and you had a good program. You respected the staff. And your workouts and your practices seemed meaningful and productive. Would that have made a difference? And you guys were winning games, the top of the conference, you know, tournament championship. That would that have mattered to you?
I think it would have. I mean, it wouldn't have been like. I still don't think I would have had like the best time of my life, but it would at least have kept me active, kept me in a team environment, you know, going on road trips, which I all like. Some of the guys that I had made friends with at West Liberty, they're great guys, and I still know them now, and I laugh every time I'm around them. We tell stories and stuff like that. But then there's just like that dark cloud, that like just dark cloud of the whole overarching thing that just ruined it. So I think if that was the case, I think it would have kind of motivated me to just be a healthy person. I probably would have kept throwing and probably would have liked to do it for a couple more years, but even now there's still sometimes, as shocking as this may sound, that I do wish that I would have a couple innings left in me to go out and throw. But I mean, I think
you got 4 years of eligibility left.
Yeah,
I think right. I actually have one
COVID year.
Yeah, I actually have one.
I'll go.
Well,
out.
To me, kind of like what he just said, and it actually kind of makes me sad talking about it. The most like. Obviously, I miss playing the game and I miss competing. But like one of the things like that I miss the most is just being around my friends and going to the CAF after practice and fucking around on road trips and hotels and talking shit on the like in the dugout, like the stuff off the field that I miss a ton. But hey, it is what it is.
Pro athletes say it all the time when they retire.
That's what they just mean, the camaraderie.
Yeah,
they just being.
They hated spring training or training camp in football. Yeah. It was a grind, but yeah, you miss those being around the guys all the time.
Yeah, like I miss, honestly, one of my favorite things that I miss was just going to the CAF after practice and getting fucking ice cream from the CAF. Like that was one of my favorite things to do.
And I can't remember, and it was actually, I guarantee the dude got made fun of, but like what was it, like 2 years ago, somebody got beat in the basketball tournament and he was up there and they asked him, what he was going to miss.
Yep.
And he literally got emotional and said,
I'm going out to eat with my players.
And I'm sure he got fucking ridiculed for it. But honestly.
No, it is. It's kind of like something that you got to like, you know, like experience to kind of like understand it.
Did that guy, because I just saw a quick.
It popped back.
Did he say anything after that? Because the only thing I saw, they asked him the question and he pondered why he was getting emotional. And he just said, going out to eat. Did it end there? That's the last. Did he expound on that at all?
Because I don't think I agree with
that.
But
I see what he means, though.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I don't think I watched, I don't think I've ever seen the whole interview. I think I've probably just seen a clip or whatever the case might be. But I think the only thing, I'm going to play devil's advocate to back to what you were talking about, though, too, and whoever said about walk-ons. I do think you have your people that peak late. So the fact of the matter, you're a kid that maybe was a good, like really wasn't good the first couple years, then all of a sudden started to get his hair on his nuts, started becoming a man late in life, and then all of a sudden, you know, they became good, but they didn't have no bites because they weren't good enough early enough.
I agree with that.
Some people don't grow right away either.
They don't grow right away. And so I do think that the walk-on situation, I agree. I mean, I'm not sure if that's what, but I guess I see both sides to that.
Yeah, I guess it's I guess it depends on, you know.
Everybody's got a different part of life chapter.
I pondered transferring somewhere and walking on.
Did you ever think to yourself, like, whatever, like, clique or group that you're in, do you ever just sit back and think about, what if I went another direction? I always think about it, so in a video game, like, sometimes they give you options to go in different quest lines. So, like, if you take one quest line, the ending of your game is going to be different if you take the other quest line. So you can come out with two end games of the game.
Right.
I always think about, like, if I wouldn't have been – if I went and played football, like, would my life be different if I had played football? Because I always talk about Nick, like, there's a part of me that wishes I would have played in middle school – like, just because that was the thing to do, and everybody was, you know, everybody in Park, they fucking don't give two shits about anything else other than football. But, like, that was the happening thing. So, like, there was always a little fiber of me that wanted to be a part of that. So I always think, what would my life be like right now if that's the way I went?
I do think so, because I think you can even relate that. And a great example would be you and Hannah. And I look at it like from a stand. So, if you didn't go to West Liberty and she didn't go to West Liberty, I know that's maybe not a good example, or even a personal example. The wifey wanted to do law, and her dad pushed her more towards the medical field. If I didn't do my thing, then we would have not have been a thing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the pathways, if you would have chose
it's football, crazy would have been how a little bit different. Works like that.
Without a doubt, right?
Well, I mean,
well, imagine if you wouldn't have went to the bar that night.
Well, Hannah.
There you go.
I had met Hannah at the bar, and we had talked a little bit over the phone. And she invited me over, so I drove over there, and I was in my truck.
This is a great story.
And she lived right up from campus, and she had a house, and she was by herself because everybody had left for, I think it was spring break or whatever, or Christmas
break.
She
lived above me, right? She lived in Topper Village, right?
No. This is when she lived above the campus, when she lived up on that road that's by the graveyard. But anyway, she invited me over, and I drove up there, and I pull into the drive, and I instantly put it in reverse and pulled back out of the driveway. And I called Say, and I said, I can't do this. I said, I can't go in this house. I was too nervous. I said, I can't,
really?
I can't do it. I called him. I said, Say, I'm going to leave. I got to leave. I can't do it. And
didn't you say you're going to have a panic attack?
I said, Say, I'm going to pass out in this truck right now because I can't. And I drove around campus like six or seven times.
J.R. Oleash is like, what the fuck's this dude doing?
Listen, I almost thought I was going to get pulled over. Because
take me in, J.R. so I don't have to go in there. Like, save me. At least I'll have a good excuse when she asks why I didn't show. Well,
and so I drove around.
Well, I'm in jail.
And I drove around, and I told her this. I was like, there was a time where I thought I was going to delete your number, never talk to you again, and never come to West Lynn, and that was going to be it. And I would never see you again, and that'd be it.
See, there you go.
Because I was too afraid. And I think I called Cooley, too, but I called Say, and he was like, you just got to do it. He's like, you just got to do it. So I finally pulled in, got in, opened the door, and I always tell her the minute that I knew she was cool, she said, first, when I walked in the door, she looked at me and goes, about fucking time.
Nah, I was like,
oh, okay, we're good now.
What was the extent of your communication prior to that, just on the phone?
Yeah, well, we didn't even, like, no calls, no, just text, and it was probably about like two months, maybe a month. Before I mm-hmm. she'd asked me to do that, and it was horrible. I was so scared. I was terrified. So if anybody's out there that's listening to this and you're scared to go to somebody's house, your significant other, somebody you're interested in,
what was the last straw, or not straw, but who finally
I would never know, Hannah, if it wasn't for Say. If it was not for my Say, if anybody's not listening to this, go listen to like episodes like 20 something of the podcast. Say's on it. I would never have known her without him. So I give all thanks to him because he always is a guiding light. He does some dumb stuff.
He's very
good.
But
he's a guiding light when it comes to that kind of thing.
He's like a voice of reason.
Yeah, he was like, he said, the worst that can happen is you go in there, it's not great, and then you leave, and that's it. That's it. Nothing bad's gonna happen. And he was like, "You got it." He said, "You will hate yourself for the rest of your life if you don't go in there." Which I'm glad that he talked me into.
But I do think at the end of the day, I do think like if you would have went down the football path, who knows if you'd have been really good at football, or you know, I'm just saying.
I bet he
would have been really.
You'd
good.
Have been like
in your 40s. Been the next Donald Penn.
But at the end of the day, that could have that would have brought maybe. And I know you were friends with some of the guys on the football team, obviously Nick and Say of those guys, but it could have brought you down a whole different path of life, dude. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I definitely think
you're smarter for going the path you went.
You'd have mush brain right now.
Yeah, right.
Have you guys ever been in like the crossroads, like where you could have gone one way and you went the other?
No, not really.
Like, did you ever? Because you played, you played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever? You didn't play football, did you?
No.
Did you? Did that ever cross your mind?
It did in high school. Like I was a complete fuck off. I swear to God.
You don't say.
I was good in baseball. I was good in football, and I was pretty fucking fast. But just probably the guys that I hung around once we got into high school, we were all basketball oriented. So that's where I guess I focused my attention towards. But I wish I would have played other sports. I really do. But it was just basketball and just fucking off.
Did you have?
I swear that wanted. That's the truth. That
I
was
like
just
it,
just basketball.
I, like it.
Fucking
I fucked up a little.
What was
drinking what? And just? I mean, not freshman year, but like junior year, and by then it was like, well, you know.
Did you get in trouble in school at all?
We'll talk about that some other show. Yeah, yeah.
Like real trouble though, or like a
I didn't
slap
get
on the wrist. Like,
well, I don't know. I got suspended one game, but.
For a game?
Yeah.
For what?
Hooch too much. drinking like an idiot. And actually, I got away with it, but my dad finally had enough of it. And so he called Coach Prosser and said he's sitting out next game. So I had to go to John Marshall the next game, whenever that was. And I'm sitting there just like Jeff in like casual clothes, and everybody's asking me,
what happened?
What's wrong?
You're hurt. Were you all right with getting like reprimanded? Like, did that bother you at all?
Well, Well, looking back now, I deserved it. Yeah, I mean,
but I mean, like in the moment, did it kind of mess you up?
No, I mean, I felt like an idiot. I learned. I don't know if I learned my lesson. I never got in trouble again.
So I always,
but
my favorite story is when you and my dad and Tim were drinking and driving around ladies' yard, and my dad pulls up and says, "Hey, Len, let's go get a drink." And what'd he say? You inside,
and
you leave.
Yeah, he just told your dad, get the hell out of here. I mean, just driving around. That was probably the most embarrassing thing that had happened to me at that point. I was only a junior in high school.
Were you afraid to get into trouble, or were you like, I'm going to have fun?
You know what? We were just so stupid. I don't know what Jeff would like when, you know, the stuff you may have done, but we never looked ahead. We never, I swear to God, never once, and we still tell these stories, never once did any of us think about the repercussions. What could go wrong? We were just a bunch of dumbass kids that just assumed that we were invincible. You know, well, we can't die in a car crash.
You'd be like those kids in Jaws that got eaten out on the boat.
Yeah,
It was, and I look back now, and I think it just total stupidity.
I mean, we always...
So somebody or the big guy upstairs, someone was looking over us, because we actually
your mom
had
was probably home praying the rosary.
We should have had some bad things happen to us. And then as you get older, when you have kids, then you realize why your mom wanted you to call when you got somewhere, why they sat at home, and then realizing it. Well, I got two dumbass teen. My sister wasn't. I mean, she was fucking wild too, but you know, she got a pass. Because she was the youngest and she was a female.
Oh, yeah. I know that story real well.
Yeah. same thing. But you know, looking back at that, it was like, wow. Good lessons learned, though.
Great lessons
learned. But at that time, it was so stupid. I knew everything. Mm-hmm. Didn't understand why my mom would be so worked up about her son going out with his buddies or the first, you know, time that maybe I got to use the car after I got my license. No wonder, Jesus! I'd be. I mean, we did that with our kids. Oh. We still do.
What about you guys?
I mean,
how are you?
I mean,
were you like that?
I put it this way, and I'm man enough to admit, when I was younger, I would never share this story. First and foremost, in high school, I couldn't even get into West Liberty When I graduated high school, my GPA was so low, I couldn't even get into fucking West Liberty.
Did you just not care?
I didn't give a flying fuck. Literally, when I was in grade school, junior high, and this is going to sound like a fucking blowhard statement, I was a smart kid. And I'll be honest, I got a lot of awards my eighth grade year. Unfortunately, my mom passed away my eighth grade year. And then, unfortunately, that was my split in the road.
And then it was just downhill.
Understandable.
I started drinking, started having a little bit too much fun. And that's what I did in high school. Literally, I swear to God, could not get into fucking West Liberty. My only option was West Virginia Northern. I told my dad I was going to take a year off school. He's like, that's fucking fine. You're going to get a job. You're going to take over all your bills. I said, well, it looks like I'm going to college. Then literally my first semester in college, I was still doing what I did for my, and actually, let me retract it. One time I got above a 3.0 to be able to get my dad the break on the insurance.
Oh, yeah. That was a big deal.
One time, and then the rest of the time didn't give
that's
a fuck.
It. Yeah.
Then my first semester of college, still the same way. I got my grades, my dad got them, and I actually, this is something that truly changed my life. My dad fucking hemmed my big ass up against a brick wall. And looked at me and told me that I couldn't do it. If you keep on the same path, knocking them out the shit, and boom, the light switch went off, and that was it. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It truly is. I know it sounds pretty fucking dumb, but it
no,
truly
but I, was. No, not and at I, all. Did, I knew not who at your all. Dad was, and since I've got to know you, you've told me some stories just about him, and I could imagine him being, you know, knowing that you're a smart kid, but you're getting fucking D's and C's and F's
and
or whatever.
He gave me a pass because I think what happened too is he gave me a little bit of a pass because he knew that I was going through some shit.
Oh, yeah.
So he didn't manage me as much as he did my brother and sister because I was going through something different in life at that time. But it was hands down the best fucking thing that ever happened to me. 100%.
Yep. That's awesome.
What about you, Matt? I feel like we don't talk about when your youth.
My youth, I would say this to my mom quite often. Like, I don't know how I'm still alive because I don't know how my parents didn't just beat me to death. I deserved it. I was such an idiot as a kid. I took school so unserious. High school, like grade school, middle school, I was a good student. Then when I went to high school, I fucked off for 4 years. But you know, you guys know what it's like at Wheeling Park. Like, by the time you got to be a junior, senior, it was like a nothing. Fucking, it was like babysitting. Yeah. Like, it was, all the kids around me didn't give a fuck, so I didn't give a fuck. I mean, I think I still was, it's not that I got bad grades, it's just I did not care.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I played sports until my sophomore year of high school. Then it was just more fun to just go out with people and party and have fun. And then I started to get an interest in being at West Liberty a lot, like, when I was still in high school. So I would be there a lot around the you know, athletic teams and things, and that kind of is like, this is kind of like what I'm going to do with my life. So then you started to go that route, and then you get to college, and it's like, geez, like, I'm a West Liberty. Like, I really didn't study for more than 2 hours for the entire time that I was there. And I don't know. So I turned out halfway okay, but I don't know. I don't know how my parents put up with me. I was a total.
You had a little bit of a temper.
Yeah, well, the temper was one part of it, but just being just disrespectful and not understanding why they did what they did and stuff. And I'm thankful that they did what they
did.
Yeah,
it's probably a good thing Uncle Jim didn't like the swing, throw punches first.
No, they have. They don't have tempers, so that was good. Well, my mom probably does a little bit, but I'm lucky in that regard. But yeah, I mean, I have no like ill will towards anything that happened in my childhood and growing up. It was just, you know, you just learn along the way. And like Jeff said, like one point or another, you realize, man, I was a fucking idiot. 100%. Like, what am I thinking doing this stuff? And, like, that's just so stupid.
I'll say I will be on the opposite side of that. I was, like, him and I, we didn't do, we were like little goody two shoes.
Well, you said you didn't cuss until.
I swear to God, like, right hand to God, I did not cuss until I was probably a sophomore in high school. Like, I didn't cuss. I thought it was terrible. I thought my parents would be mad at me if I cussed. I thought it was, like, against the law. I'm still terrified of doing things wrong. Like, if I don't go, like, we went on vacation a couple times. I'm scared to do a jet ski because I don't want to break it. I don't want to break it. I don't want to break the rules. When we're somewhere, I don't want to break the rules. I don't want to be too loud in a hotel room. I don't want to speed. I don't want to get pulled over. I don't want to be a nuisance to people. I wish I was the other way around. I wish I would have just fucked off and done with all my friends, because all my friends drank and they went to parties in high school and they went all and had these crazy stories. And I was so afraid of breaking that, of breaking the rules, that I didn't do anything. And I was probably my senior year of high school, I had my first drink. And by that time, we were already getting into college, so that was a normal thing. So it was like, it's not that big of a deal now. But I wish I would have done so much more stuff. So much more stuff to have all the stories that you guys tell. And
well, you guys couldn't really skip school by the time you got to high school because your dad was there. Yeah, so that kind of fucked your operation up. But, like, we all did that. Yeah. Like, it was – and I wouldn't even consider myself being, like, an ultra-bad kid.
No.
But
no.
It was just, like, I just did shit the kids did, like Chris said. Mm. You just fucked around. And, like, some of the times I would be aware, like, you know, I can only push it so far. But I kind of had a limit. But, it, you know, you do things and you're looking back, it's like – some of the things that I did do, I'm glad that I did, though, because, like, you learn and you meet people and you develop a different type of – it's not all about fucking books and sitting in a classroom.
Yeah.
Your life's just not
– absolutely.
That, kids like that are sheltered. They live sheltered lives.
Like. Yeah, I mean, my last year of Park was 4 periods of radio class, and, I mean, we didn't do shit, but – like I think because of that, I mean we're here right now, and I mean I have some great stories from friends, and we ran around the fucking high school and just did what we wanted, and I mean at least that, I mean I could have definitely flown a little higher in high school than I did.
I think we all could have. I mean, I look back now and I'm like, my God, I wasted. Hey, I consider myself moderately educated, but I really, really squandered a lot of learning opportunities.
Because we talk about all the time, like right now, if somebody was like, hey, we're going to give you like a free year of education in planet science or something like that, I'd absolutely jump all over that.
Yeah. Matt, I think you're selling yourself a little short on moderately. Jesus.
I was going to say.
I don't know. Maybe just the rest of the population.
If he would have taken it seriously, he'd have been a fucking valedictorian.
He's like a hot Einstein.
No.
I mean, he is.
I consider myself just slightly smarter than a regular ape. But I don't know. Yeah.
You can fit the blocks in the right hole.
So just out of curiosity, with him saying what he said, do you agree with his sentiments about we wish you would have been a little bit more?
I would say I was a little bit more, not wild, but I did more than him. I would say so, a little bit more, but I mean, I don't really care. I'm cool.
No looking back.
Yours was basically just based on the fear factor of it.
I was horrified.
I was horrified of
getting in trouble with my dad or my mom.
It sounds like your dad was like ruling with an iron fist.
But then it pisses me off really, really, really bad when now I'm older and I hear all the shit that he did. It really pisses me off.
And this is the dad dude who barges in your room after a night of drinking and behaves like he's the fucking high school kid.
Chops me on the neck.
or we're at family functions back in the day, and he's passed. Everybody's still having fun. We're playing games, singing songs. Yeah. There's Mark passed out drunk.
But I was so afraid. Yeah. I was so afraid of breaking rules that he wouldn't approve of. And then I learned that he broke every one, the biggest rule breaker in the history of rule breakers.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Is that, and I still today, I don't fuck with him at all. Like, I never want to piss him off or anything. Like, cause you know how he is. He's not that he's an asshole, but he can be.
You know what? He parented.
That's exactly.
I think if nobody knew you guys and they were listening to this story, they were like, oh, those fuckers definitely lived a sheltered life. But because your dad was who he was, really, you weren't as rambunctious as you maybe would have liked to have been. But if your dad's passed out at a fucking family party, like, you weren't living a real crazy sheltered life.
Yeah, older that I've gotten, the more I've been like, oh, I can do whatever really I want to do.
Has he exploded on you guys to where you were that terrified of him?
He used to. Like, I mean, like, he was always like... And there wasn't like an example where he was like, if you fucking go out, I swear to God, I'll kill you. Like, it never was like that. But for some reason, it was just, I didn't want to break the rules. I was terrified. I still am terrified of authority. Like, I never wanted to break the rules. And I wish I could be different. I think it's just ingrained in my head.
But I don't know how you were with your parents and how you were with your parents. I think a healthy fear factor is a great problem to have. I don't want Luke to be afraid of me, but I want him to have a little bit of it. I mean, he actually fed us probably the best compliment the other day was the fact of the matter, the way that you guys parented me as a kid is what I would do to my kid. Right. And he even said something, because, I mean, not that I'm proud of this, but have I hemmed Luke Doyle up against walls before? Fuck yeah, I have. And he was like, I would do the same thing to my kid, because at the end of the day, there's an end result.
He knew he needed it. That's great. Yeah. He said that. That's awesome.
It wasn't even probed by us either. Now, he's not going to have a kid.
You probably were like,
that was super cool, though. But at the end of the day, like, you walk away from those moments, and you know, you're Mr. Tough, and I'm speaking for myself, you're Mr. Tough guy in the moment, and then you do it, and you're still in the heat of the moment. And then when you walk away, and then you're out of that heat, and you're like, man, that probably wasn't the fucking best way to handle things. Yeah. But if your 18-year-old kid can look back and tell you now, and you didn't initiate the conversation, he goes, what you guys did to me is what I would do to my kid.
But then your dad did it to you, right?
100%.
And then
I would never change
your life.
Yeah, 100%.
I agree. I totally agree. And I would reciprocate the same sentiment that Luke gave to you, to my parents. But I would definitely, as me as a parent, I would iterate that it's okay to have fun. Like, it's okay if you want to go, like, you just have to just be careful. Like, be careful, but have fun with your friends, because you're going to look back at all the stuff that you've done and laugh about it and stuff like that. Which I don't think, I think it was very, like, it was too be careful. Like, you don't want to. Don't want to overstep your bounds, but
mom's gonna hear this and she's gonna be like, "Oh, I never did that." She's bad. She was pretty bad with it, in like the be careful, like the
which I understand.
I understand. I was more afraid of my dad. More in coaching was kind of my thing.
That would have been tough for you, like, guys, for sure.
Sometimes I swear to God, I thought he was gonna kill me. Just shit, like, during coaching, like,
he was over the top with that.
There's a few times where he's hit ground balls at me, that, which I guess I look back now, it's maybe a better player, but man, there's some times where he used to get so pissed and hit him so hard that I'd be like,
I do remember that.
Damn.
He would get so mad.
He'd get really mad at me.
And
he almost killed Tyler Riedel.
He would hit these fungos.
Yeah, he'd get pissed at me.
Everything into it, and they would, like, whistle past.
Well, and he would do it, like, sometimes we'd be...
Yeah, some of your fucking guys on your team couldn't have stopped the ball
with
fucking three gloves, let alone one.
Maybe now, I guess, that would... If he would have, like, done that when I was, like, you know, hitting, and I was a horrible hitter, but... Maybe if he would have done that, maybe that's why I was a good defender, because he hit him too hard.
Well, I think at the end of the day, and you guys hopefully will all experience this, you know, part of being a parent is being able to punch your kid in the side of the head, but then show him love at the end of the day. And really, it is. It's all about that, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the discipline side is a great thing. And at the end of the day, that's back to our original statements. That's the problem with society, not being real with your kid. Hyping them up when they don't need to be fucking hyped up, or if they suck, you telling them that they suck. They need to. You mean it? It's the driving force. So.
Well, and I think all of us as a group with our parents, we're regardless how we got here, as far as the discipline and the love and everything, everybody would agree we're good people. We're polite. We're courteous. We're a good group. So something worked along the way.
Yeah,
I would agree. I mean, and I think that, you know, and I mean, I'm proud of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Birds of a feather flock together.
And be respectful.
Yeah.
It's not hard to do, but.
Speaking of your kids, Emily's birthday today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Jesus Christ.
Happy birthday.
Happy early birthday.
23.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Emily.
Happy early birthday, kid.
Counselor Joe John turned 60.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday when you hear this. So happy birthday, Emily.
I think that's a good spot to put a pin in. You think so? I think
Rock
we talked
it out.
About some good stuff.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about some good stuff.
Episode
103. Very sentimental episode. So
yeah,
hopefully
that was a good one.
You look back on your life and you can think of all the dumb things you've done in your life and whatever.
Do them again.
Yeah, do them again. You got time left.
You got lots of life to live.
Yeah. So, all right. That's
going
to do us here for the Pine Room, episode 103. And I don't got much for you. We've had a fun time here. We're going to continue to have a fun time. See if we can make it to episode 200. It's a long way to go. But until then, we'll see you next time in the Pine Room.
Peace.
Goodbye.